the arts render a slave's service to life. Wisdom issues the commands. For myself, I maintain that a different answer should be given, that the pilot's art is never made worse by the storm, nor the application of his art either. The pilot has promised you not a prosperous voyage, but a serviceable performance of his task. That is, an expert knowledge of steering a ship. And the more he is hampered by the stress of fortune, so much the more does his knowledge become apparent. He, who has been able to say, "Neptune, you shall never sink this ship except on an even keel," has fulfilled the requirements of his art. The storm does not interfere with the pilot's work, but only with his success. What then, you say, is not a pilot harmed, which does not permit him to make port, frustrates all his efforts, and either carries him out to sea, or holds the ship in irons, or strips her masts? No, it does not harm him as a pilot, but only as a voyager. Otherwise, he is no pilot. It is indeed so far from hindering the pilot's art that it even exhibits the art. For anyone, in the words of the proverb, is a pilot on a calm sea. These mishaps obstruct the voyage, but not the steersman qua steersman. A pilot has a double role, one he shares with all his fellow passengers, for he also is a passenger. The other is peculiar to him, for he is the pilot. The storm harms him as a passenger, but not as a pilot. Again, the pilot's art is another's good. It concerns his passengers, just as a physician's art concerns his patients. But the wise man's good is a common good. It belongs both to those in whose company he lives, and to himself also. Hence, our pilot may perhaps be harmed, since his services, which have been promised to others, are hindered by the storm. But the wise man is not harmed by poverty, or by pain, or by any other of life's storms. For all his functions are not checked, but only those which pertain to others. He himself is always in action, and is greatest in performance at the very time when fortune has blocked his way. For then he is actually engaged in the business of wisdom, and this wisdom I have declared already to be both the good of others and also his own. Besides, he is not prevented from helping others, even at the time when constraining circumstances press him down. Because of his poverty, he is prevented from showing how the state should be handled, but he teaches, nonetheless, how poverty should be handled. His work goes on throughout his whole life. Thus no fortune, no external circumstance, can shut off the wise man from action. For the very thing which engages his attention prevents him from attending to other things. He is ready for either outcome. If it brings goods, he controls them. If evils, he conquers them. So thoroughly, I mean, has he schooled himself that he makes manifest his virtue in prosperity as well as in adversity, and keeps his eyes on virtue itself, not on the objects with which virtue deals. Hence neither poverty, nor pain, nor anything else that deflects the inexperienced and drives them headlong, restrains him from his course. Do you suppose that he is weighed down by evils? He makes use of them. It was not of ivory only that Phidias knew how to make statues. he also made statues of bronze. If you had given him marble, or a still meaner material, he would have made of it the best statue that the material would permit. So the wise man will develop virtue, if he may, in the midst of wealth, or if not, in poverty. If possible, in his own country. If not, in exile. If possible, as a commander. If not, as a common soldier. If possible, in sound health. If not, enfeebled. Whatever fortune he finds, he will accomplish therefrom something noteworthy. Animal tamers are unerring. They take the most savage animals, which may well terrify those who encounter them, and subdue them to the will of man. Not content with having driven out their ferocity, they even tame them so that they dwell in the same abode. The trainer puts his hand into the lion's mouth. The tiger is kissed by his keeper. The tiny Ethiopian orders the elephant to sink down on its knees or to walk the rope. Similarly, the wise man is a skilled hand at taming evils. Pain, want, disgrace, imprisonment, exile, these are universally to be feared. But when they encounter the wise man, they are tamed. Farewell. Letter 86 on Scipio's Villa. I am resting at the country house, which once belonged to Scipio Africanus himself. And I write to you, after doing reverence to his spirit, and to an altar which I am inclined to think is the tomb of that great warrior. That his soul has indeed returned to the skies whence it came, I am convinced. Not because he commanded mighty armies, for Cambyses also had mighty armies, and Cambyses was a madman who made successful use of his madness, but because he showed moderation and a sense of duty to a marvelous extent. I regard this trait in him as more admirable after his withdrawal from his native land than while he was defending her. For there was the alternative. Scipio should remain.